For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. The winter of 1863 was a very difficult time for Abraham Lincoln as he tried to maintain a cohesive approach to dealing with the American Civil War. As we mark the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, we focus today on the winter of discontent. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies explains what Lincoln meant when he referred to concerns about fire in the rear.
This was a reference that he made during the winter of 1863 when discontent spread throughout the North and a war weariness set in the North about the progress of the Civil War and the fact that so much was being expended in blood and treasure on this war, and yet it seemed to many Northerners that there wasn't a whole lot of gain that had come out of all of those expenditures. The victory at Stone's River, Union victory, helped a little bit to increase morale, but the very bloody and devastating defeat in the Eastern Theater at Fredericksburg in roughly mid-December 1862 really sent Lincoln himself into a fit of despair. Lincoln phrased it by saying, "If there is a hell, I am in it," in response to Fredericksburg. So things did not appear to be going well for the Union side. And the fire in the rear that Lincoln spoke about was the fact that discontent with the war was turning into very real opposition to the war in the North, and especially with the emergence of people who otherwise were called peace Democrats in the Democratic Party, or known more popularly as Copperheads. These were folks generally aligned with the Democratic Party, although not exclusively in the Democratic Party, who believed that this war was a failed effort, that means should be taken to end it as quickly as possible, so that while Lincoln was struggling as commander-in-chief to find the right generals, win the victories, and also to buttress his issuance of the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, that was greeted by Northern popular opinion with a lot of dissatisfaction, to say the least. There was opposition to emancipation, opposition to the war itself. This winter, thus, becomes a real crisis for the Union itself.
Dr. Jack Thacker, a military historian from WKU, says President Lincoln was very disappointed by the midterm election results. He had believed that those results in 1862 could have been better for his side had more soldiers been able to vote.
Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, New York, the whole southern tier of the northern states all went Democratic in state legislatures and much of in Congress. And as a result of that, there were very small majorities, though, only between 2,000 and 4,000 votes. So it was not of a large amount. It was a problem. I mean, the Indiana legislature, Democrats were going to move to take control of the state militia away from the governor, which meant that the legislature would then control it. And if the legislature controlled it, then you have to understand a good part of the force that's out there from Indiana would fall under their control, and they're thinking about bringing them home. The Governor Morton decides what he'll do is he gets the Republicans not to show, which forces the legislature into adjournment, which then means that he governs almost without a legislature, but which means he can't raise taxes because the legislature has to vote the budget. So he has no budget. So what he does is just collect voluntary contributions from the Republican counties, and the War Department gives him $250,000 to keep the government going. What you see is a virtual dictatorship established in Indiana. So you can see that this was a serious, serious thing.
Dr. LaFantasy says a number of rumors were circulating at this time as well about possible resignations in Lincoln's cabinet.
So that while all these other things are taking place and really spreading negative feelings throughout the North, this discontent we've been speaking about, that there was a crisis in Lincoln's cabinet as well. What happened basically was that his Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon Chase, though a member of the administration and a member of cabinet, had been complaining repeatedly about Lincoln's assumption of executive power and executive privilege through what Lincoln called the war powers. Well, in the Constitution itself, there's no reference when it speaks about the commander-in-chief as to war powers. The power to declare war is in the Constitution, but is is relegated to Congress and not the president. So in many respects, Lincoln was making up as he went along this notion of executive power. Chase, who had opposed Lincoln in the 1860 election as a candidate himself, at least for the Republican nomination, spread his own personal discontent to members of Congress and to other members of the Republican Party, hoping that Lincoln could be weakened. And there actually came a point in this winter in which rumors were going around that not only might the entire cabinet resign over this, but that Lincoln himself might resign the presidency. And Lincoln, of course, heard these rumors. What he decided to do was to take matters into his own hands, and a great amount of the difficulty and consternation was occurring between Salmon Chase, Secretary of the Treasury, and William Seward, Secretary of State. Seward saw the problem, and so he submitted to Lincoln his resignation as Secretary of State. However, Lincoln didn't act on that, kept it in his pocket, waited for a while, and then called a meeting with Congressman and Secretary Chase present, but Secretary Seward not present. The congressional delegation aired their complaints about Lincoln's accruing of executive power. They complained about his war powers that, in fact, don't exist under the Constitution. And Lincoln listened patiently and calmly to all of this, then said, "But so many of my decisions have been made and shared with my cabinet and have been endorsed by my cabinet. Isn't that true, Secretary Chase?" Well, here Chase was put on a spot. He could either disagree with the president and thus make even more public and more personal his disagreeable position in the cabinet, or if he agreed with Lincoln, the congressional delegation would become suspicious of Chase. Why has he been telling all these tales when, in fact, Lincoln has operated with the very support of his cabinet and not at all what we've heard? Secretary Chase could only mumble his agreement to the president, and in response to that, Chase submitted his resignation as well. Lincoln responded, "Well, now I can ride. I've got a pumpkin in each saddlebag," was the metaphor that he used. And what that meant was, having received both the resignations of Seward and Chase, things were now back into balance, and he rejected their resignations. He kept them in the cabinet. For a while, at least, things had settled down then in terms of that one political crisis, which he handled brilliantly.
Dr. Jack Thacker says the fact that Union reenlistments were down was another indication of the winter of discontent. This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.